will briefly review what we covered in fifth chapter earlier. So we covered a couple of verses, right? 16th verse. Prabhu, any points?
Real knowledge comes from Krishna consciousness, and once that knowledge comes, all the nascence is
destroyed. Nascence is ignorance and it's destroyed.
So that enlightenment is that the super soul is not the doer but the sanctioner. That's the knowledge that we should be in.
Yes, that knowledge we should be clear. Otherwise we'll be thinking super soul is responsible for our mistakes. Okay. And who gives this knowledge?
That's from bona fide spiritual master.
Yeah, bona fide spiritual master. And also, what is the role of Krishna from within reveals the knowledge, right? We discussed that verse, Tesham Evanu Kampartham. He removes the darkness of ignorance by the illumination of knowledge from within. Okay.
Then the last sentence of the purport, identity with individuality in spiritual life is real knowledge.
So there we were discussing in the darkness we see everything as one. But when, like how Mayavadis think, everything is one. But when there is light of spiritual knowledge, then we see everything is separate. Like there is individuality and at the same time there is oneness. Okay, next verse, 17th verse.
So from that section we start liberation through the super soul.
Focusing on the super soul.
And the ultimate truth is the Lord Krishna. And
so there are
1 second. I'll get a mat.
No.
You can sit this side.
No.
I'll get a mat.
I'm comfortable, Mataji.
There should be four things necessary for liberation. So intelligence, mind, faith, and you should have only the Lord as your refuge. Once these are all fixed, then you know all the dirt goes away. Then we can get steady progress towards liberation.
So one has to, you know, slowly, gradually. This verse is for the perfect devotee actually. But in the summaries it was written that, you know, even sadhaka should try to practice this. Fix his mind, intelligence and faith in sheltering Krishna gradually, more and more. Then what else?
And the Krishna consciousness person can see the duality in all the things. Simultaneous identity and individuality.
That's very nice. So in Krishna you can see both identity and individuality. Thoroughly understand there is.
So Mataji, I have this question, this part and parcel, this individuality and simultaneous. This one is like part and parcel, we are like Jivatma, Paramatma, we are like part and parcel. So, can you minutely describe that one? Because part is when, simultaneous, because Paramananda is Sachidananda Vigraha, Sachidananda. But why we are not Sachidananda, even though we are the Dhamsa, like we are part. How we are so different then?
No, we are Sachidananda as a soul, but because of identifying with the body and material nature, we become opposite of that. We are always sad, basically opposite. We think we expire with the body, So sat is eternal. We think we are asat. Chit with full of knowledge. So we are full of ignorance. We do all kinds of nonsense things and still we think we are happy. No? Like the hog is happy doing what it's doing. Then and ananda. So we are nirananda. Always we are suffering and miserable like that because of identifying with matter. Because of the covering which comes because of that. So gradually when we get purified, the coverings will go away and we will realize that original nature. Satchitananda nature. Then then we can feel ourselves really truly. It's also discussed like as the mirror covered, dust covered in the mirror. We discussed that last. So much dust is there. So we have to just cleaning the dust. Then we can see ourselves clearly. So because of association from time immemorial with matter and because of the desire to enjoyment, we have covered ourselves so much that we don't feel happiness anymore. That's the thing we feel always miserable. And it's because we are still trying to enjoy this material life. Yeah, we'll come to that point. Very nice, instructions are given in today's class, today's verses. Something which we have to practically apply. So in 18th verse.
18th.
Famous
one.
Next.
18th verse. What
everyone
are some?
Is serving. Like even is devotee or non-devotee.
Everyone
and
is.
Devotee is serving by remembering Krishna always and non-devotee serving by doing all sense gratification and indirect way.
Yes.
While serving Maya.
Yes. So that's how the advanced devotee sees everyone as equal. So that's a spiritual vision. But at the same time, does it mean that, they will embrace a snake or, they'll put hand in the tiger?
That is still act out according to that desire. So you have to be wary of that.
Okay.
So everybody's spirit is spirit, but materially they will act according to their desires.
Propensities according to the body, how the body propels. So that's why they deal with them according to the whatever, appropriate for that relationship. So then we also discuss among the devotees also same thing applies, right? Right? Because we see somebody advanced, we see somebody's peers, we see somebody's junior, somebody's new. Accordingly, we respect everyone as spirit soul. Hopefully, we respect everyone as spirit soul. But at the same time, we deal with them appropriate to their, advancement in Krishna consciousness. Right? That's what we discussed. So we applied this principle. And also we talked about if somebody makes a mistake, or even devotees, if suppose they are cultivating, they are still giving up, trying to give up certain habits. So we should not judge them thinking, they are fallen, they are Maya and things like that. But we should understand that neutrally, Super Soul is sanctioning their desires. And also, Srila Prabhupada very nicely gave this analogy. He says, if somebody is taking shower, we can criticize them that they are dirty, or we can appreciate that they are getting clean. So it's like that. We have so much dirt, but we are in the shower now. We are getting clean. So somebody says, oh, this dirt came out. Because dirt is coming out, right? When we are trying to do devotional service. Last 10 years, everything is coming out slowly. Then people will notice it. Sometimes, Krishna makes us come these things face to face with us. So when it comes out, somebody may say, oh, see, this devotee has so many bad qualities. Somebody may criticize like that, or better is, this person is fixed in devotional service. So the process is going to purify him. So let's appreciate for his determination. Okay. So text number, so we'll continue with today's section from 19 onwards, right? So it's okay? We'll start? Okay. Text in 5th chapter, text number 19. You want Bhagavad Gita, Prabhu? I have one extra one. Okay. Okay, he reads the Sanskrit. Ihai vatarjita sargo yesham samye sthitam mana nirosham hi samam brahma tasmad brahmani te sthita. Those whose minds are established in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman, and thus they are already situated in Brahman. So here Krishna is describing some of the, from here actually couple of verses, Krishna is describing the symptoms of person transcendentally situated, or the symptoms of a self-realized person. Now he is situated in sameness and equanimity. Because of being situated in sameness and sameness, similar to the earlier verse, right? How is same? Because it treats everybody as spirit. Mm. That's how. Equanimity means he is not disturbed with happiness and disturbed, easy, situated, very fixed. Even so, that means even while living, he's actually conquered the conditions of birth and death. That means he's already liberated. Right? So it's now, liberation doesn't mean we have to give up the body. We understand that, right? We can be liberated while within the body if we are transcendental or if we are completely Krishna conscious. So that's why Krishna is saying they are flawless like Brahman. Like Brahman is spirit. Flawless like Supreme Spirit. And thus they are already situated in Brahman. That they are already spiritual. So, we will cover, read the purport and we will add some points. So we will read from fourth line. As long as one identifies,
as long as one identifies with this body, he is considered a conditioned soul. But as soon as he is elevated to the stage of equanimity through realization of self, he is liberated from conditional life.
Okay, we can pause this. So very nice definitions, right? So usually we keep saying conditioned soul, we don't know what it is. So it's defined here. We identify with the material body, then he is considered a conditioned soul. Conditioned soul means he is conditioned to act in the way the body propels him, or material nature propels him. Like we can reflect on ourselves, right? We have certain conditions. In certain situations, we always act the same way. That means it's our conditioning. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes, habits. Habits also becomes, we create the habit, after that habit creates a man. So we become conditioned by that habit. Now we cannot stay without that habit. Like coffee or tea or drinking or anything. Then, this becomes our conditioning. And sometimes it's because of, our upbringing. How our parents have behaved in certain way with respect to matter. Like I can say to myself, like my dad has been, he worked very hard. He started himself from ground and set himself in a very successful position. He's a topmost position in education, like vice chancellor. He all achieved all those things. But because he worked so hard and he's coming from a pure poor family, he somehow started becoming very stingy. He feels like money is God. I cannot give anything to anybody. It's like that. So that's all. His whole life is conditioning so strong. And I have been always attached to my dad from the childhood, and of course I am born from them, so I also had this conditioning. It's like somehow I cannot give easily. By Krishna consciousness, little bit we are getting purified, but that's very strong. I can see it very strong. It doesn't come. Whereas Prabhu's, his conditioning is different. From the childhood, they are taught to serve. So for him, it comes very natural. When somebody asks, he cannot even think anything but to say give, take. So that's conditioning again. No, but that condition is very favorable for Krishna consciousness. This is not. So we have to work through, we have to, at least we should be very introspective and find out all these conditionings and, try to observe when they are coming up and try to, at least, instead of acting on that, try to measure and try to, at least act in a way favorable to Krishna in those conditionings. Situations. So, okay. Conditioned soul. And otherwise, when one is situated in the stage of equanimity and the realization of self, then he is liberated. So that means he no longer acts because of the pushes and pulls of the previous conditionings or the material nature. He acts according to what is pleasing to Krishna. Okay, continuing further.
In other words, he is no longer subject to take birth in the material world, but can enter into the spiritual sky after his death. The Lord is flawless because he is without attraction or hatred. Similarly, when a living entity is without attraction or hatred, he also becomes flawless and eligible to enter into the spiritual sky. Such persons are to be considered already liberated, and their symptoms are described below.
See, it's a very important point here. Srila Prabhupada is saying, Lord is flawless because he is without material attraction and hatred. Right? We already discussed earlier. Krishna says, I don't have to get anything from this world. I still work because because I have to set an example. But otherwise, I don't need to gain anything from this world. But similarly, when the living entity becomes also without attraction and hatred towards the material nature, he also becomes flawless, and then only he becomes eligible to enter the spiritual world. So that means to enter the spiritual world, we should be as pure as the Lord. So that is our prerequisite. We were pure like that, as Mataji was saying, we were Sachidananda, but because of association, now we have been covered and impure, and so many conditionings and so many anarthas and so many lust, anger, greed, the six enemies, everything is covered over now. So we have to work through this process of devotional service and cleanse all of those, and again see the pure identity, then we will be liberated now, and also we will be qualified to enter the spiritual world. So we can imagine is how much work it is now. Right? So it's not, that's why those who are serious about spiritual life, they keep reflecting this. Oh my God, so much. And whenever something comes out, still I have lust, still I have anger, still I have greed. Krishna, when will I get rid of this, and when will I have developed this pure love for you? At least this whole, it takes full lifetime now. At least, hopefully, one lifetime is enough, according to what Srila Prabhupada says. So, and one example of this equanimity and sameness, like there are many examples in scriptures of how pure devotees as well as Lord has exhibited these qualities. Can anybody think of some examples? Of equanimity, like without being disturbed with, like, let's say, honor, dishonor, or wealth, materially successful situation versus failure situation, or something coming, lottery versus not getting. Some people have Lord himself in different incarnations.
Lord Rama.
What is that?
The equity.
Yeah, in which situation?
Like when he has to go to forest. And
exactly. Yeah.
Even though he's coming back, always he's in the same.
Yeah, place. That's exactly the the story I heard when Prabhu, that's Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj is giving the classes. So he was giving this example. He was describing, of course, the whole story of how it happened. We'll summarize it. So, the main point, the way he was emphasizing is, for many years, everybody took it for granted that Lord Ram is going to be the king. Everybody accepts it. Even Kaikeyi, who's going to do all this, also accepted, and she appreciated and she encouraged it. No, she treated Ram non-different from her own son, Bharat. So many years that is set up. Everybody knows. Ram also knows. Then suddenly one day we know all this what happened. She had to ask the boons, and she was being... her mind got changed because of mantra, of bad association. And she asked two boons from Dasharath. Said, one boon is my son has to become the king, and second one is Lord Ram has to leave for forest for 14 years. So that earlier day night, actually Dasharath calls Ram because he has an inauspicious dream. He thinks some bad omens are coming. So he thinks, soon I should establish Ram as the king because something is going to happen. So he was ready to. So he told Ram, next day only, tomorrow only, I'm going to coronate you. Evening he tells. And night, suddenly when it's early, coming to the early morning, he calls Ram. Because, Kaikeyi said, we should tell this information to Ram that he has to leave. Then Ram comes and he sees Dasharatha Maharaj very much, face is completely shrinked up and very much unhappy. Then he talks to Kaikeyi, what happened to my father? Did I do anything wrong? Why is he upset? Did I offend him in any way? Then he said, she said, actually, no, you didn't offend. It's not because of you. He's upset that, if he tells this news to you, how bad you will feel. That's why he's upset to, you know, he's afraid about telling this bad news to you. And he said, okay, what is that news? He said, you know, this is what it is. You have to go to the Vanavas for 14 years. My son will become the king. Then he said, why? No, I'm upset. Ram said, I'm upset. You know why I'm upset? I'm upset because my father didn't have trust that I would obey his order without any hesitation. He didn't have that trust. That's why I'm upset now. No, there is no need to worry. Nothing to this thing. No, I'll go now itself. And so immediately he prepares himself and goes. So the way he act, you know, he behaves in that incident. That's why, you know, Prabhu was saying, so many years if you have expectation that you are going to be king, at least because of that also, at least there is some disturbance should be there. Right? Oh, I expected this. How come this happened? Right? Nothing. That is also not there. Okay, if I have to do this, that's my duty. I'm doing it. Now my duty is to follow my father's order. I'm going to do it. So it's duty based. And that same Ram, after 14 years Vanamas, he had to now accept the throne. He accepted it with same balance. Not like now overjoyed. Oh, 14 years, I'm just waiting when the day will come, when the day will come. The day came, then okay, now let's celebrate and, you know. So it's not. So both in materially happiness and distress, he is equipoised. So that's the Lord's example. So that's why, you know, this point is very nice. Lord is flawless because he is without hatred and attachment. Attraction. So similarly, when we actually take shelter of that flawless Lord, we also become like him because of his mercy. Again, he will make us like that. We discussed one time, right? Now, how do we develop qualities? We want, you know, this when we see somebody very humble or tolerant, everything, we feel, okay, I want to become like that. Especially, you know, Radhanath Maharaj is a epitome of humility, you know, his compassion, so many qualities, and all these Maharajas are. No, they are dedicated their life to Srila Prabhupada, and Krishna and Prabhupada has mercifully decorated them with all these Vaishnava qualities. So these qualities are given to us by Krishna so that we become more attractive in front of his eyes. It's not what we endeavor to get. Now we say, oh, I will, okay, now from now on I'm going to get the humility. It's not what doership. No, that's what we are used to. Fruitive mentality. You know, I'll do this, I'll get it. I'll get something. So it's all mercy. It's all mercy. So what is mercy? So today Amit Prabhu was sending. Actually, I looked at Prabhu's email. I replied. I discussed with Prabhu and replied. So Prabhu was sending a quote, and he asked some. You know, can you elaborate on this quote? Quote from Radhanath Maharaj. The quote is. Can you remember the quote?
Yeah, mercy means to get what we do not deserve.
So quote is, mercy means to get what we do not deserve. So what does it mean?
Lord is happy with us. It's like a beggar. I mean, I have no qualification. It's just that if someone shows mercy upon me, I'll get some money.
Oh.
It's by no qualification that I can.
Yeah.
There are no skills that I can flaunt to.
Mm-hmm. So it's not money. My endeavor. No, I don't have qualification. I'm simply a beggar. I'm just waiting for the rain to fall. Like, you know, some rain of mercy to come upon me. So that is my, and when that mercy comes, a person who really feels that way, he doesn't feel, I deserve it. No, he doesn't feel like, he takes it with such a gratitude that, you know, I'm not even qualified, somehow I got this opportunity. Especially we can think of ourselves, maybe now we may not feel it like that, but later on when we become more advanced, we'll feel, you know, how come this devotional service, I got this wonderful opportunity. No, what did I do? No, am I pious? No, am I, you know, did I come across devotees or, you know, what did I do to get this wonderful opportunity of devotional service? Then we will realize it's all mercy of, you know, Srila Prabhupada to begin with and devotees who are extending that Prabhupada's compassion to all of us. You know, like Harivilas Prabhu and all the devotees who are doing their, you know, whatever they can do to their capacity. No, helping us become more Krishna conscious, helping us come closer to Krishna, it's all mercy. That somebody is, we discussed earlier, right? Whatever is happening, it's all happening because of Srila Prabhupada's desire. Because Krishna wants to reciprocate with Srila Prabhupada's desire that so many temples are coming up, so many people are coming up, so many things are happening. Right? Because Krishna is reciprocating with Srila Prabhupada's desire. So mercy is so.
How to remain humble? I mean, when even. if you feel that it's because of Lord's mercy that you have got what you have got, but then you start feeling that, you know, it's me who has been chosen to, the Lord has chosen me to shower His mercy and nobody else. So
maybe we have earned that.
Yeah.
Like
so
by doing
yeah,
Lord.
That's
way,
it. We cannot, when you feel it's mercy, we cannot say we earned it.
I mean, especially when you offer your prayers and Lord listens to your prayer, like it's me because it's my prayer that Lord has listened, not anyone else. So
yeah, there's so much ingrained, right? So much ingrained that I-ness or egotism. But we don't have to worry because the very process of devotional service, Krishna will make sure we become humble. At least for me, I can, I have seen to myself, like, you know, one day when I say something in a way, that moment I will not feel. But within few hours, I'll feel, okay, I was proud. No, the way I've said it, I can, and within something will happen, make me realize that, you know, come down, just come down. No, something must still happen with the kids, you know, that day they'll not listen purposefully or, you know, then I realize, oh, it's not in my hands. It's all happening because of some mercy, you know, better just be in that humble, because Krishna doesn't like devotees to be proud, especially, you know, devotees, sincere devotees whom he like, you know, really likes, you know, whom he wants to bring more closer. That's why, you know, that's the mercy he gave on Indra, right? He goes to extent, whatever extent possible, to curb the pride of his devotees. He doesn't tolerate the pride of his devotees. That's why, you know, Indra, for his special mercy, in order to show special mercy, he destroyed the Sambhavataka clouds. Indra sent rain on Vrindavan. Then, you know, Krishna, in a moment, just he lifted a mountain and with a pinky finger and 7 days and small boy. And Indra became completely embarrassed and, embarrassed. So, to curb his pride mainly. And also, you know, he has a different way, this thing to exchange the rasa with all the devotees present there for 7 days, completely intimate rasa. Yeah, so what I'm saying is, you know, we don't have to worry so much, you know, we are trying to cultivate humility. At the same time, when we are sure that, when we feel that I'm not really humble, we just be dedicated to the process. Krishna will make sure that, you know, we become humble. Especially devotees will make sure we become humble.
Thank you.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
I think I've already gone to text 20.
Yeah, text 20 is similar to earlier verse. Yeah.
261
also will come. Okay, so we'll continue then. Next verse. Okay, text number 20. Na prahrase priyam prapya no dvijet prapya cha priyam stira buddhi rasam mudo brahma vid brahma nistita. Yeah, regarding the earlier thing, no, remember some disciples came to Srila Prabhupada and said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you know, we were doing all kinds of nonsense things. We were hippies. All kinds of illicit activities we were doing. And how come now we are so blissfully dancing, singing, we are spreading the movement, we are establishing temples. You know, what qualification did we have? Prabhupada very nicely said, you know, you don't have any qualification. I created your qualification. That's it. So he told very nicely. Because that same mercy is coming to us also. But especially Indians, we feel, you know, I'm pious. No, from childhood I'm vegetarian, that's why I'm coming here. Or, you know, like that we feel sometimes. But actually,
somehow or other, we will make some connection.
Connection, yeah. But the moment we realize, like gradually, as we become advanced, more and more advanced, we feel actually, you know, it's all somehow I have been brought to this Krishna's lotus feet. And so that's why we become more dedicated to just remain there and just try to serve the best we can instead of wasting time. Okay. Text number 20, verse. A person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered and who knows the signs of God is already situated in transcendence. So these are again more qualities of a self-realized person. So what does he have? Like he doesn't rejoice upon achieving something pleasant according to the material sense pleasure. Nor does he lament upon obtaining something unpleasant. Of course, he may feel like this with respect to Krishna or devotional service. If he doesn't feel, like, you know, if he doesn't do some service nicely, he may feel distressed. if he feels like, you know, some opportunity came or people are coming to Krishna consciousness, he may feel happy. So it doesn't mean Krishna conscious person is like, you know, without any emotions like a stone, right? But we all, our emotions are dovetailed in Krishna, or, you know, is dovetailed in Krishna service. So who is self-intelligent, we'll come to this word, self-intelligent, sthira buddhi, who is unbewildered and who knows the signs of God, is already situated in transcendence. So if you read the purport, Prabhupada explains all of these points. So we'll read the purport. The symptoms of self-realized person.
The symptoms of the self-realized person are given herein. The first symptom is that he is not illusioned by the false identification of the body with his true self. He knows perfectly well that he is not this body, but is the fragmental portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is therefore not joyful in achieving something, nor does he lament in losing anything which is related to his body.
Okay, we can pause there. So that's the first line. First line translation says he neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant, nor laments. So for that, Srila Prabhupada is saying, because he doesn't identify with the body, he doesn't bother about what happens to the body. Like, you know, with this, let's say something unpleasant, like some disease comes, or something pleasant, like, you know, maybe some what else, what pleasant can happen to the body? I don't know.
win a lottery, something
he will not even indulge in lottery, but yeah, so even something pleasant happen, like let's say somebody praises him, right? The honor, dishonor, right?
That is more than lottery.
Mataji, your sari is good, or you know, the wonderful prasadam you made, or so many things, you know, then doesn't become overly joyful. Of course, for Krishna's service, we can appreciate and we can be happy. Okay, because he doesn't identify with body, that's the point. Next one, continuing, Prabhupada is going to talk about self-intelligent.
This steadiness of mind is called sthira buddhi, or self-intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
He is therefore never bewildered by mistaking the gross body for the soul, nor does he accept the body as permanent and disregard the existence of the soul.
Okay, we can pause this. So this point, so we talked about self-intelligent is because, you know, steadiness of mind, is fixed in mind, he doesn't waver from service. So that is self-intelligent. And the next point in the translation, if you see, it is unbewildered, right? So, you can write next to that verse in the purport, the words in the translation.
Mm-hmm.
So regarding unbewildered, what are the two points? He is not bewildered because he doesn't mistake the body with the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And next, he doesn't accept this body as permanent and disregard the existence of the soul. These are the two points. He doesn't think the body as a soul. And second one, he doesn't think, he knows that body is temporary and that's why he invests in the soul. So he's not bewildered. Basically, he knows everything clearly. That he is a spirit soul and his body is going to perish. No, okay, that's the essence. So next, continuing, Prabhupada is going to talk about signs of God.
This knowledge elevates him to the station of knowing the complete signs of the absolute truth, namely Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan.
Okay, we can. So that's so. This knowledge will completely elevate him to understand completely the absolute truth. So that way he knows the signs of God. And then that's how he becomes situated in Krishna consciousness. Later on, Prabhupada says.
He thus knows his constitutional position perfectly well, without falsely trying to become one with the Supreme in all respects. This is called Brahman realization or self realization. Such a steady consciousness is called Krishna consciousness.
Mm. Okay. So this verse, sthira buddhi, right? It came earlier also in second chapter 2.61. This is different. Oh, 2.57, right?
5.6.
Yeah, correct. 2.56. 2.56 says, right, you know, one who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness and is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is a sage of Siddhi mind. Siddhi Muni. No, there is sthira buddhi. Somewhere else. I have written down these words.
Sukheshu anupyukna samana sukheshu vidatashu.
2.61.
2.61 is tani sansarvani tasik matpara.
Matparaya, this is the words actually. Ashayya sendriyani tasya prajna pratishtata. In the word somewhere I saw it's sthira buddhi is there. Oh. Matpara, okay. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control and fixes consciousness upon me is a man of steady intelligence. Steady intelligence is like Krishna consciousness, yeah. Yeah, sthira buddhi. Okay. So then, okay, so we'll continue to the next verse. So what next Krishna is telling, you know, that one person has to tolerate this. That's going to come later on. Text number 21.
Bahyasparshesu
asatvatma vindati atmaniyasukam sa brahma yoga yuktatma sukam akshayam ashnute. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. So he is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but what happens? He enjoys the pleasure within. So he is self-satisfied. And he enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. So this point, you know, we can see. So essentially, by withdrawing from material sense pleasure, he is actually enjoying unlimited happiness. So, you know, initially, people usually in Krishna consciousness or any spiritual path, this is what they obstruct or they object this opinion. You know, especially Divya Mataji used to tell, right? No, always saying no restrictions, no, saying no, 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 no for enjoyment, no for enjoyment, then how will you be happy? Right? That's the conception people have usually. No, we are always withdrawing from enjoyment. Then goal is to enjoy. We are saying no, no, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. How are you going to enjoy? That enjoyment is the enjoyment of the soul, enjoyment from within. That's how we become happy. But it takes time, some time. We may not immediately feel it, right? That's why we struggle, because we don't have the higher taste.
And also, material enjoyment is temporary, Mataji. It's on the end, right?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So,
another thing is material enjoyment, once it is done, then you forget very quickly.
Yeah.
Whatever means.
See, the moment while sitting in the movie, okay, especially, you know, that's why Radhanath Mahal once he was telling lecture. Movie is so much ignorance that you have to enjoy it in darkness. Very nice, no? The way he's saying. So, you know, sit in darkness, see something, and come out a moment, and that's all gone. Back to work, you know, back to life, think about projects and think about school, everything, right? So much waste of time. Then you feel it's waste of time.
Change is happiness. If you are experiencing some change out of your routine, I mean, usually.
We feel it's happiness. So, just take a break, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we also do. We can dovetail all of this in Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, we also want devotees also take break, but they don't take break from devotional service. They take break from type of service. So, you know, let's say old day, like for example, you know, Prabhu is so considerate. He says, you know, old week, whole day, you are with kids, you know, taking care of them. You take break and do something which you really like and which you enjoy, and that helps you also, you know, be fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then I'll be more happy returning back to taking care of them. So it's like that. But it's not that taking break means I'll go to some parlor and, you know, sit there and massage my feet and I could do all those things, but then it's material again, no? When I come back, I'll not be regenerated. I'll feel like, oh, again I came back. So that's the difference between material and spiritual. So we'll continue the purport. Yeah, we'll read the full purport. Now, whoever can read the Sanskrit, they can read. Otherwise, we can continue the English.
Sri Yamacharya, a great devotee in Krishna consciousness, yet avadi mama cheta Krishna padarvinde navanava rasa dhamma udyatam rantum asid tad avadi bata nari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha vikara shustu nisti vatamsta. Since I have been engaged in transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with distaste. A person in Brahma Yoga or Krishna consciousness is so absorbed in the loving service of the Lord that he loses his taste for material sense pleasure altogether. The highest pleasure in terms of matter is sex pleasure. The whole world is moving under its spell, and a materialist cannot work at all without this motivation. But a person engaged in Krishna consciousness can work with great vigor without sex pleasure, which he avoids. That is the test in spiritual realization. Spiritual realization and sex pleasure go ill together. A Krishna conscious person is not attracted to any kind of sense pleasure due to his being a liberated soul.
Mm. Wow, so clear, right? So, no, so just imagine, you know, how much potent devotion services, right? Just, you know, even in the beginning stages, if somebody is sincere, they can feel this, actually. They can feel that material, that pullings and all this, you know, the thing which is driving the whole world, those things we can abstain from very easily. Just because we have the higher taste because of Krishna's mercy and we are continuously engaged in association of devotees and hearing and chanting. It's so, so potent actually, so potent. So that's why Prabhupada is saying, because of higher taste, because he tastes the nectar in serving Krishna's lotus feet, the moment we think, okay, let me go and enjoy, we feel... Why? Then suddenly, you might have experienced, like Friday sometimes maybe your old friends may call for a movie or some party, right? Immediately you feel, I know what it tastes like, no? I rather, you know, go to Friday class, even if you we like it or no, somehow we are tolerating and staying here, but it, at least it's Krishna's word, so some pleasure is there, hopefully. So, that we can feel it, right? To some extent, we are able to give up certain attachments, certain things. Because that means it's working, process is working. Because Krishna is all attractive, so you know he can give us that taste. So the Prabhupada is very clearly telling the materialist, that's why it is said, the whole world is going around sex. That's all. It's all about anything, any object. It's about that. Any advertisement is about that. Food is all related to that. Everything is about that. It's all about that, no, and that's why it's root cause of material existence. So to get rid of that, it's, you know, such a great achievement, and with devotional service we can do it very easily. That, but it's not our potency. It's not our, you know, it's not like a yogi Vishwamitra, right? He tried to do it himself and he got trapped. So it's because of mercy, because of the mercy of the Lord, that we are able to, like how Haridas Thakur is able to control this, because the devotee always feels, let me serve the Lord rather than doing all these things. Because of that service attitude, he will be protected. So, Krishna conscious person is not attracted to any kind of sense pleasure due to his being liberated soul.
Maharaj, this verse came before too. I don't
remember. Yeah, I remember. Even I was remembering.
Which
verse? Same verse.
The example, Mataji. This
Yamunacharya example?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It came before.
The higher taste verse is 2.59. I don't know exactly where that came.
Yeah, 261.
2.59, right? Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavajyam raso apsya apisya asya param dushya nivartate. That's higher taste. That's higher taste word. So we develop that higher taste.
60.
Yeah, we can, somebody can do research and...
Yeah.
Oh, it's here.
2.60.
Yeah, it's there, 260. 260, Yamunacharya. Gives that same verse, very nice. Yeah, same thing. Yeah, in the Krishna consciousness is properly saying in the purport of 260, last paragraph, Krishna consciousness is such a transcendentally nice thing that automatically material enjoyment becomes distasteful. So nice, right?
although the verse is the same, the translation is kind of slightly different.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. So other question, other point is, this is a test in spiritual realization. So are we going away from these things? Are we getting away from this material attachment? Are we getting taste for attachment for Krishna? This is our test. Day by day, or you know, month after month, year after year, we should analyze. No, am I progressing? Yesterday I was sharing, suddenly I don't know why I remembered. I was just counting the years. So I was telling Prabhu, I was thinking it's 2013 now. So I was telling, oh, it's 9 years in Krishna consciousness. He said, no, it's 2012. Oh, I said, oh, 8 years. No, I said, it's 2014. I said, like, okay, 10 years in Krishna consciousness. Then I said, oh, what did we do? Did we make any progress? I was sharing, you know, 10 years went by like this. We are chanting. What did we achieve? You know, how much closer we have come to God? How much love, you know? So many, we have big goal, right? Love of God, so many things, or compassion, so many things. How much did we make progress? 10 years went by. Yeah. So, yes, struggling.
So, this is how I see it, Mataji. Like, I should have only one happiness that at least I know who God is, and I will have one sad if I'm not progressing. This is how, like, I'm summarizing the whole thing of my personality. If I'm progressing, I'm happy. If I'm not, then I'm sad.
Yes. But yeah. If we can come to that.
And then when I see the entire world, and then I see, wow, at least somehow I have known who God is. That is the ultimate happiness for me. And if I'm not doing anything about it, like...
Then it's miserable. Then
that,
we are...
That is what my sadness is like.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. We should feel bad about it. We should feel sad about it. But that sadness should increase our determination to take it up. It's not like we go into depression. Right? You know, then it's negative. It's lamentation and there is no use. That lamentation should be dealt in Krishna's service. And say, okay, Krishna, I lost this opportunity. Give me a chance again. No, give me, if suppose, you know, we are busy with child. You know, she has a very young child, like almost two years, close to 2 years.
Yeah, two,
19 months. Like, we are carrying same time. So sometimes, you know, we get caught up with the life, busy, you know, we feel whole day is filled up already. You know, where do I have time to 16 rounds? Where do I have time to, initially we used to do, and suddenly we lost the rhythm again. So then now we have to pray. Okay, Krishna, now I know this is the goal. Now I somehow you gave me the association. So now you give me the time. Show me how I can do it. Then somehow magically it works. You know, something becomes easy. Somehow the child will behave good. Somehow he eats quickly, less than, you know, instead of taking half an hour, he'll eat in 15 minutes. Because Krishna can do it. That's how I'm feeling Krishna now in my life right now. You know, especially when class, right? If I have to study also, so it takes, you know, I'm trying to study, you know, dedicatedly so that I can serve all of you nicely. So, at least maybe half an hour I need. And then I'm also listening to classes related to this so that I can add some points from what realized souls are speaking. So that I do while I'm, you know, preparing their lunch. Thursday, Friday I dedicated to preparing for the class. So I do while making their lunch on Thursday I prepare, listen to classes. And either Thursday or Friday I try to study sometime. So if Thursday doesn't work, Friday then it becomes mess with their schedule, you know, because already I'm fully occupied with their, both of us are occupied with their routine. So I have to somehow Krishna has to give me this time to do this. So I have to so much plan that, you know, morning I have to chant two extra rounds such that evening it's freed up or something or the other. But somehow or the other it's happening so much. Because, you know, we have some desire and Krishna is reciprocating with that desire and it's happening like that. So... yeah, so we have to be determined, and when Krishna sees our determination, then he helps. So this example is given about determination. It's in Bhagavad Gita only. I don't remember the verse. It's like once a sparrow. You might know this example, right? So sparrow, the ocean takes away her eggs. Sparrow lays the eggs on the land, and the ocean comes and takes away the eggs of the sparrow. The sparrow, of course, you know, mother feels very bad and says, okay, I want my baby back, my children back. So he says to the ocean, give my kids back. I say, no, it's already, I took it, I cannot give. I say, no, you cannot give, I'm going to dry you up. So when he, with a small beak, he started taking water out of the ocean, one by one. But he was so determined, seeing him, him or her, sparrow, her, right, mother. So, seeing her, Garuda, no, Vishnu's carrier, he came, okay, you are so determined, I am going to help you. Okay, come, I will take with my beak all the water out and drive the ocean. Then the ocean becomes scared. Okay, if Lord's servant comes and does this job, I'll be dead. So, you know, okay, give the eggs back. So, in the analogy, in the purport, Prabhupada says, you know, that's how we are. We, the tiny hands and legs and whatever, you know, thing, we try to do something in upstairs. Something in devotional service. And we think we are great or we achieved it. Actually, you know, because of our determination, Krishna reciprocates and showers so much mercy that we can make that progress.
It's all mercy.
Yeah, it's all mercy now. Again.
Actually, a good example for Taraka Prabhu also, he was telling me the other day. So generally, whenever there is a requirement in the temple, they make sure that he's available.
Hmm.
So there is something called as on-call at his workplace. So on-call happens only when he's in front of his computer. So it never troubled him whenever he's doing service at the temple, and he is narrating a lot of instances where Krishna actually helped him. Even if he was in busy with temple service, he is here in a flash. If there is some requirement in the temple, so somehow the situations are arranged in such a way that he could take leave at that very moment. I was telling him that probably we should write a book together, because this is a clear cut example of how Krishna helps if someone is genuinely invested in serving the Lord.
So
he was giving a lot of examples. Taraka Prabhu especially.
Prabhu has shared this similar instance earlier. Sometime back.
Yeah.
He said like he was totally busy, and as soon as he got time in the night, like at 11 o'clock he got free. And he's sitting and his manager got him, okay, now we have to do this. So everyone thinks like he's dedicated and working non-stop.
Oh, in the office.
Yeah.
That is ready when it's needed, right?
Yeah.
See? It's all mercy, yeah, see? And so Krishna reciprocates so much with his desire, you know, pure desire to serve him. Then, Yeah, he was also actually once they were layoff in Boeing. So everybody was anxious and he was also anxious. But somehow, you know, he prayed and nothing happened to his job. And he's been staying for so many years now. Yeah. Very nice. Okay. So we'll go to the next verse. What is the time? Oh, we just have 2 minutes. Next verse is very big. Yeah, so we cannot go to the next verse.
That moment I can take. Equanimity, devotees, right? Ambarish Maharaj, when he was confronted by
Durvasa Muni,
when he came also, he received him with the same humility, and when he gave him the curse also, he received it with the same.
Yeah, that's correct.
So you are asking about
examples.
Lord or the devotees. So he gave for Lord, for devotee.
Very nice.
Right.
Yeah, that's very nice. Yeah.
Mataji, the example you gave about Lord Rama, but equanimity and he didn't honor. So he has. Do you have any other like humanly example?
Oh, that's what he told us. Ambarish Maharaj is a devotee. Like he's a king actually, Rajarshi. So as a king, he was. You know that story? No.
He was fasting and then Durvasa came and he had to
take
the water.
So he cursed him, right?
There is a restaurant.
Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. Right side.
Go forward, right?
So he cursed him and Durvasa Muni cursed him. Then the fiery demon was attacking Ambarish Maharaj. But he didn't even move from that place, actually. You know, it's not somebody, at least somebody, something which is scary coming, we run, right? He didn't even move from the place actually.
And he tried to kill Durvasa, and then Durvasa had to.
Yeah, then Vishnu, because he was of his devotion, Vishnu sent his chakra. And chakra came behind the fiery demon and came behind Durvasa Muni also. Then he ran all over the place trying to take shelter. He went to Vishnu also saying, you know, please protect me. He said, no, I cannot. Only my devotee can forgive you or protect you. I cannot do anything. I don't have the power to take the chakra back. Vishnu says, only my devotee has the power. Then he goes and begs forgiveness to Ambarish Maharaj, and he said if he doesn't feel anything, then everything gets resolved. Yeah, and then after that, actually, so all the time when Durvasa Muni is rotating everywhere, roaming around, that became 1 year. That 1 year, Ambarish Maharaj waited for his guests to come so that he can serve him prasadam. The whole thing happened because he didn't break the fast for Durvasa Muni, right? So then he went around all the planets, you know, trying to save his life. But Amrish Maharaj is waiting. Durvasa Muni is going to come. I'm going to give him the breaking the fast. So 1 year he didn't eat anything actually. So that's what is greatness. Krishna consciousness.
Prahalad Maharaj is also.
Yeah. You can say something about it.
Like Hiranyakashipu, he treats him like his son. But when he talks about Lord, he punishes also. But Prahalad took same thing.
Same thing, yeah. And yeah, he's also another. Like, you know, all these things happening. So many, he was trying to kill him in so many different ways. But he was always fixed on the Lord's lotus feet. He never thought, does Lord exist? No, we always immediately we think, right? Is Krishna really there? See, that is his devotion. 5 years. That's why he is one of the Mahajans.
And no fear at all.
No fear, fearless. Abhaycharan.
So, Kuvind Prabhu was saying, if we hear to all these great personalities, it's not that we would become them, but at least we should get to a stage where we're able to get inspired by them.
Yes, yes.
So first level is that you don't feel anything about how great they are. And the next level is at least appreciate the fact that they are such great personalities.
That's why, you know, another point about this is like, it's not like these are stories okay, for them, you know, something for bedtime stories I will listen. These are some things for us to aspire for. Some things for us to know that devotional service can make us like that. So I want to become like that. I want to become so fixed up that nothing, material calamity or something happens, I'm not going to be disturbed from, waver from my service to my Lord. We should, you know, aspire to come to that stage.
So
it's possible.
We're talking about aspiring, right? So we're thinking about, so Rama was so equanimous, so whatever he took. So no, Bharata was even as great as the Lord. His mother is saying, take the kingdom. It's like, you go away, I don't want you as the mother also. And he gives, gives it back to Rama. Right? And now if you see around the world where, you know, everybody is hankering for power, for their children, their children are taking it away from their fathers, and you look at it and you go, oh my God, oh, they are not people at all.
Yeah, there is no Ramarajya anymore.
Ramarajya.
Okay.
And from these stories, which is
Switches, standing behind switches.
Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah.
Something, I saw some lights come on.
No, outside. Oh,
And from these stories, what I have seen, like, year after year, same story is revealing something. But perspective is little changing.
Very good.
Like Bhakkala story we are hearing from years, but still I see some other dimension. Okay,
very good. That means we are progressing. That's very good. That's nice. Okay, let's stop here.